We come today to what is perhaps one of the better known passages in this letter, certainly a better known couple of verses. Galatians 5, and starting to read at verse 13, we read these two or three verses at the beginning of the reading last week, but it helps us to understand the passage today. So reading from verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We thank God for His word. And one of the wonderful things about the Bible is that it does speak to us as God's word. It speaks to us as God's word, but it can speak directly into our hearts if we are willing to have open hearts. And I recognize, and I think one of the things I've learnt in my Christian life and my walk of discipleship, is that to open your heart to God's word is a dangerous thing to do. It's a dangerous thing to do. Because God, when we hear and receive God's word and it begins to bear fruit in our hearts and lives, it never leaves us the same. It always changes and transforms us. And just like any progress to that which is better, there's always a bit of pain and angst involved in the change, but it is good. Today, live by the Spirit. I'm going to highlight just four words here that come from this passage. First, truth and freedom, relationships and love. And this is all about living by the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit fill our lives, letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives, each step of each day. What does the Holy Spirit do in us? Well, it's to do with truth, freedom, relationships, and love. The Holy Spirit highlights what is true. Jesus said to his disciples, John's Gospel, I'm not going to always be with you. There'll come a day when I will leave you. But when I go, I will ask my Father, and my Father will send another just like me, the Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the one who will walk alongside you, the one you can turn to for advice and wisdom and direction and guidance. I will send, ask the Father, and He will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will speak truth and will guide you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit highlights what is true. The Holy Spirit highlights what is true. in the passage that we read. Verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. But I'm not serving the sinful nature. What I'm doing is surely good. It has positive benefit. The end surely justifies the means. The Holy Spirit highlights what is true. And if we are justifying the ends and saying, well, it doesn't matter how we get there because the goal is good, the Holy Spirit will highlight that for us and point out to us what is true, even though we may want to hide from it. And there are all sorts of things that the Holy Spirit, when we open our heart to the Holy Spirit, He's committed to truth and will highlight for us that which is true. And there may be things in our own lives that the Holy Spirit will highlight. As we'll see later on, about relationships, the Holy Spirit may highlight things about relationships, things we've said or things we've done. But the Holy Spirit will highlight that which is true. The Holy Spirit will highlight that which is true about the world. And somebody just this week speaking to me, fearful, it seemed, of what science is revealing. And I say, well, why be afraid of what science is revealing? Good science is committed to truth. Isn't that right? Good science, all science, good science is doing is saying, what is true? We want to find out what is true in the universe. And as believers, we should be more committed to truth than anybody else. Because Jesus is, what is he? The way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit will highlight what is true for us in our lives, our relationships, our jobs, our families. The Holy Spirit will shine the light of God's goodness upon us so that we can see what is true, but the Holy Spirit will also highlight what is true in the world. Now, we might cast our minds back to John's Gospel when Jesus is speaking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and saying, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and unrighteousness. And we might think, oh, well, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is going to convict them. Well, the Holy Spirit is committed to highlighting that which is true in our world. And sometimes, as Christians, we can kind of cosset ourselves and say, well, we don't want to deal with this particular issue. We don't want to be challenged by that. And so, whatever this issue is, we'll say, oh, well, that's just the world. Remember when I was growing up in church, the great enemy was the world. Did you get that? You know, it was always the world. The world does this. The world does that. And, you know, you've got to hold the world out and we've got to prevent the world from encroaching upon us. Well, the Holy Spirit reveals what is true. And you might say, well, why does the Holy Spirit highlight what is true? Do you know, it's because the truth is beautiful. The truth is beautiful. The truth radiates with God's beauty. God's beauty and goodness and kindness. And so the Holy Spirit highlights that which is true. And today it might be that already God is kind of nudging you. And it might be something in your own life. It might be some issue that you've not wanted to face that's a bit out there. And the Holy Spirit has said, this is true. And it may be at the end of the service or during our closing worship, you need to come up to the front and receive prayer and ask for prayer. Because the Holy Spirit will highlight what is true. It's not to harm us, but it's to set us free and to bring blessing to us. The Holy Spirit leads always to freedom. Freedom from, and then freedom to be. We have this wonderful, I don't know if it is a wonderful list, but it is an extraordinary list of the acts of the sinful nature. What would you put there? Oh, no. Verse 19, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. The Holy Spirit leads us to freedom. The Holy Spirit leads us to freedom. Freedom from things. Things that perhaps we have considered to be normal. Normal in our attitudes. Normal in our relationships. Normal in our workplace. Normal in our families. And the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit highlights that which is true, and we need to change because he's convicted us, will also lead us to freedom. Freedom from the things in our lives, in our hearts, that are actually keeping us back from what God wants us to be. So it's freedom from things, but it's always freedom to be. Freedom to be. People who are whole. People who are loving. People who are kind. People who are merciful. People who are generous. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. The Holy Spirit sets us free. Freedom from a whole load of stuff. But it's not, okay, I'm free now, I can do what I like. The joy of leaving home for the first time. I can go to bed when I like. I can spend my money on what I like. I'm not answerable to anybody. The Holy Spirit frees us from so much that holds us back, but frees us in order that we can be the person God has created us to be. And it may be today God would highlight that in your heart, that the Holy Spirit would want to come and just rest in your heart and life again. And the very things that you're resisting, as you think, do you know what? I don't want to go there. There's shame, there's embarrassment, there's fear, there's hurt, all sorts of things associated with it. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to set you free, that you might be all that God wants you to be. And then the Holy Spirit calls attention to relationships. The Holy Spirit calls attention to relationships. How many times have we prayed, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Have we done that? We probably all have from time to time. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to experience you. We'll sort that relationship out then. I know. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That spiteful word you say. Now, Lord, have you ever had that experience? Every time you pray and God's going, well, hang on. If you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, it's about relationships. It's about relationships. Last Monday evening at the Lent course at All Saints, the speaker was Jeff Lucas. And it was great to hear him, great to hear what he had to say. And right at the end, I said to him, Jeff, I've only ever met you once before. You probably won't remember. But it was about 25 years, 30 years perhaps ago. I said it was at an event called a youth event. It was called Solid Ground. And I talked about the person who was leading it, and I was very involved in that. And Jeff, as I said, Jeff, you came, and you were the main speaker. And I seem to remember the person leading worship was a guy by the name of Noel Richards. But I remember one, I think it was the Saturday afternoon or evening, you got up on stage and you said, today I'm going to speak to you about relationships. I'm going to speak to you about the fatherhood of God. And he called to his son, Ben. Ben, come on up. And his little son, you know, little lad, rushed up. I was really impressed. He didn't mind, you know, in front of 800 people or whatever it was. Ran up. Jeff grabbed him and held him. And Ben just closed his eyes, safe in his father's arms. And I said, Jeff, I remember all that. And I could see he was remembering. I said, I don't know that you said anything else that day, because a commotion started in the tent, a big, huge marquee where we were. And what had happened, it was like the Holy Spirit had just come like a crashing wave across everybody, just as Jeff took his son. And then another wave, it was as if another wave of the Holy Spirit just crashed over people. People were being set free because they saw the most beautiful relationship, the father and the child. And the Holy Spirit is committed to relationship, that we might know God as Father. Now, Jeff actually said to me, he said, you know, that's extraordinary. It's fantastic to meet you. He said, on that particular day, I walked to the tent, and as I walked, God said to me, I will show you something you will never, ever forget. Jeff couldn't actually speak that night because the Holy Spirit was doing his own thing. There were people who, I don't quite understand this, and I can't quite explain. I can tell you what happened. But people fell to the floor and could not stand for an hour on end. People, there was somebody in a wheelchair who just stood up out of the wheelchair, completely healed. There were others who the next day, people said, I don't know what happened there, but God moved. Come and say. People were restored in relationships. They experienced forgiveness, healing, all sorts of things. And it was all, the Holy Spirit is committed to relationship. He wants you to know that God is your Father. He loves you. And of course, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, say this, Father. Maybe nothing else needs to be said. And today, it might be that, yes, the Holy Spirit will highlight that which is true. Because we can't be set free from that which we don't see and don't accept. The Holy Spirit will lead us to freedom. The Holy Spirit will lead us to freedom from stuff that has held us back and really entangled us and messed us up. But the Holy Spirit will set us free from all that stuff so that we can be who we truly are. The Holy Spirit calls attention to relationships, says the most important relationship is knowing God as Father. But then the Holy Spirit will call attention to all our other relationships, because the fruit of the Spirit, if you look, it's all relational. It's all about relationships. And some of you could probably quote this list off. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's about having love for others, love for yourself and love for your neighbor. It's about joy. It's about rejoicing in others. It's about having peace with others. You know, when they're delighting, when they're rejoicing and delighted in what they're able to do, being at peace with them. Having patience when they're winding you up. Being kind to them. Goodness. Being faithful and gentle and being self-controlled. All of this is about relationship. It's about dealing with relationships. The Holy Spirit calls us to live by the Spirit and to deal with relationships. Relationships that are already strong to make them stronger. Relationships that are weak to make them strong. Relationships that are broken to be healed. The Holy Spirit will highlight what is true, will lead us to freedom and call attention to relationships, to bless us. And today, it might be that there are friendships, relationships, as we thought about earlier, that you need to say to somebody, do you know, I need prayer about this because I don't know what to do. And that's probably a good place to be, asking for prayer. It might be today that the Holy Spirit highlights for you the relationship with God as Father. And you would ask for prayer and just say, would you pray for me that I might experience in a fresh way the strength and the love and the kindness of God as Father? And that might be you need to be filled in a fresh way with the Holy Spirit because of that. And the very last thing is simply to say this, the Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit does not point out what is true in order to hurt us or harm us. The Holy Spirit does not free us in order to hurt us or harm us. The Holy Spirit does not call attention to relationships to make a mess of our lives. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit comes to us now in love to bless us, to enrich us, to strengthen and encourage us. On Wednesday evening, we read that passage from John's Gospel that we read earlier today. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. Love one another. Love one another as I've loved you. Then they'll know you're my disciples. Here is our training ground. This is where we learn to love. And by our love for one another, then everybody else will go, you must belong to Jesus because of the love you've learned for one another. May God's grace and mercy rest upon us today. We're going to pause. I'm going to pray that God pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. And it may be that you need to sit comfortably. You may need to open your hands to God to say, okay, God, pour your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to receive from you. Highlight what is true. Lead me to freedom. If there's relationships that need sorting, just call attention to them for me, for you, Allah. Let's pause. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, come upon us in love, kindness. In Jesus' name we pray.